Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Don't miss out on your chance to listen to four-time Super Bowl champ Charlie Weiss on the only podcast solely devoted to everyone's favorite position in football, the quarterback. Listen for free now by subscribing wherever you get podcasts or by going to CelebrityQB.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. I'm your host, Dwayne Callender. Quite a bit to talk about last night with the playoff games that went on and the fact that we've got a Game 7 today coming up very shortly between the Cavs and Pacers. Game 1 with the Jazz going to Houston and, all amount of good stuff because we also have the Stanley Cup playoffs continuing today with the Capitals and Penguins playing, so gonna be an interesting set of games today. But I want to lead off with something that always interests me, and that's when you get a positional player throwing a perfect inning in a baseball game. So last night you had the Giants just getting absolutely blown out. And for all intents and purposes, the Dodgers were just taking it to the Giants. So Bruce Bochy decides to throw out Pablo Sandoval for the ninth inning. And, if you haven't seen this, the highlights of this yet, look it up on ESPN or wherever else you want to watch your sports highlights from. And just see Pablo Sandoval just mowing guys down with an 87-mile-an-hour fastball. And then a 69-mile-an-hour 12-6 curveball with movement. I mean, it was glorious watching that happen. Honestly, if Panda actually decided to stay in shape and commit himself to pitching, he could actually transform himself into a poor man's version of Bartolo Colon, which might not be good enough for the majors, but would be immediately entertaining for minor league baseball once his playing career wraps winds down. But that was really cool to see. But just an interesting highlight to take a look at. But let's get into it. We had the NBA action last night. The Warriors took care of business against the Pelicans game one. The Celtics eliminated the Bucks last night in Game 7. I'm going to talk about the Warriors game first, just because I know people are going to be talking about it, kind of jumping back on the bandwagon with the Warriors ready to destroy everyone. So let me just say, welcome back to the bandwagon. But, at the end of the day, this was a complete tactical mistake by the Pelicans, because the Pelicans try to run and gun with the Warriors, which is always a recipe for disaster. I don't care if Steph's out of the game. It's just not a good way of getting a win against the Warriors, especially on the road. The Warriors hit way too many shots. You can't run up and down against them. I thought the way the Pelicans were going to go about this was to, run pick and roll, but slow the game tempo down, because they know that the Warriors don't have a point guard with Steph out of the lineup, so you can slow the game down and they can't push pace on you. When you invite the pace, I mean, you're giving them what they're looking for. So I just thought it was a complete mismanagement of this situation by the Pelicans and Alvin Gentry just trying to go up tempo and go shot for shot with the Warriors. That's just complete and utter mishandling of the situation. That's why you lost by almost 20 points last night, just because it was just a bad game plan from the start. So, you know, at the end of the day, I would say for the Pelicans, you still have a chance to split the series, although that was not an encouraging start, because you gave the Warriors a lot of confidence that they could just steamroll you, even without Steph Curry, who, by the way, may be back for Game 2. So you may have also missed your window to exploit the Warriors, but we'll see how it goes. So Kerr may just hold out Steph for another game just to get him as healthy as possible for the Western Conference Finals. Meanwhile, we had the Celtics and Bucks last night, and the Celtics prevailed as I expected, but just a disappointing end to the season for the Bucks, who, by the way, just looked completely lost, because it looked as though the Bucks ran out of ideas in terms of the coaching staff with Joe Prunty, because he kept throwing out different lineup combinations. There had to be over a dozen different lineup combinations last night, and none of them worked against the Celtics for the most part once they got past the starters. I mean, Giannis played pretty much the whole way. Chris Middleton played almost as many minutes. But the Bucks just did not have anyone from the bench step up and do anything in that matchup against the Celtics. And, the Celtics actually did this cool little bit with Drew Bledsoe, because Eric Bledsoe had been an antagonist in this series, downplaying Terry Rozier's level of play by questioning who he actually was. So Rozier outplayed Bledsoe for the vast majority of the series. Bledsoe finally had a good game last night, but at the same time, Rozier still had a good game for the Celtics, so it became a moot point. But Drew Bledsoe actually pumped up the crowd with a little bit, saying that he was the real Bledsoe. Just another dig at Eric Bledsoe. So that was actually kind of a fun bit. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Bucks just showed how limited they truly were, because Jabari Parker, you know, as talented as he was coming out of college, has not improved his game at all, in my opinion. Can't play defense and sucks on the boards. I mean, just completely one-dimensional. And it's the exact same problem that Andrew Wiggins has. I honestly think that those two guys are interchangeable, because they don't do anything other than score. They can't play defense. They can't rebound. What good are you as a swing player in today's NBA if you can't even play a lick of defense and use your wingspan? It just kind of makes you useless, because unless you're shooting as well as, or at least be a poor man's Klay Thompson, and Klay plays, the reason why Klay is like upper echelon is because Klay plays elite level defense. These cats can't shoot as well as Klay, and they can't play any defense. It's just a lot of dead weight in terms of contracts I'm seeing in the NBA, and that's part of the problem with the league in general right now, is that too many guys are making money that they haven't earned yet, and the star players, while they're making money, they should be making more money because of some of these cats that they're carrying along for the ride. But with that being said, let's talk about Game 7 tonight. Well, today. I keep saying tonight. You'd almost expect it to be a primetime game, but then I remembered that ABC has American Idol now instead of Fox, so that's the reason why. That's the real reason why the NBA games are on early tonight. It seems is just to make room for American Idol. But yeah, you know, it's 1 o'clock start for Cavs Pacers, so I basically got about another half hour to talk about everything, but and get my lineups in. But long story short, you know, for those of you who've been paying attention to the podcast, I've been saying this all along that I thought this series could go 6 or 7 games, but the Cavs were going to pull it out. My thing of this was that the Cavs just did not show up at all in Game 6. The Cavs bench is going to show up in Game 7, whether that's a Larry Nance Jr. or maybe you get some kind of contribution from Tristan Thompson other than being a punchline for the Kardashians. You know, they're going to do something. But all in all, LeBron James is going to be LeBron James. LeBron will score 50 if he has to knock off the Pacers. He's not losing this series. And the other thing of it is that these refs are going to let LeBron do whatever he wants today. Whether that's hooking guys, doing his spin move where he elbows you in the head, just all in all, just bullying the other players on the court for the Pacers, especially Lance Stephenson. I think he's going to basically body up Lance Stephenson, and Stephenson's going to get 0 calls in Cleveland. You know, the refs, the NBA in general, have a vested interest in the LeBron advancing. And it's not it's like a conspiracy theory that the Cavs are going to win outright, but honestly, the star players are going to get calls. That's just the way the NBA has always conducted itself. So unless LeBron does something egregious, like throw a punch, which obviously doesn't happen, you know, he's going to have his way with Lance Stephenson. You know, Lance is going to try to do his antics. He may even get like one of those BS technical calls against one of the other cast players, like a double tech kind of scenario. But I genuinely see this as a danger spot for the Pacers, where Lance Stephenson can get himself ejected from the game before the fourth quarter because of the fact that the Cavs are going to try to find ways of engaging with Lance Stephenson. But if they can get him out of the game, that makes it that much easier for Cleveland to do what they need to do on offense, because Stephenson tends to hurt them scoring the basketball and in general just disrupting their offense when he's guarding people other than LeBron. But when he is guarding LeBron, I think that's where the Pacers are vulnerable. LeBron is going to be able to do whatever he wants to be physical and also dish the ball off. Now, in the interim, you're still going to need guys like J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver to hit shots. So I do expect them to get their legs under them and hit some shots in this Game 7. My issue with the Pacers just stems from the fact that outside of Victor Oladipo and Stephenson, I don't see enough consistent scorers on the Pacers that can actually get the job done. Guys like Thaddeus Young, Miles Turner, you know, I don't see them translating their game to stepping up to be a 15 to 18 point scorer off the bench. Well, Turner may start today, but you get my drift. It's like they need the role players to actually score somewhere around 35 to 40 points today. I just don't see the Pacers bench being able to generate that. And that's just a lot of points to ask from Oladipo to come up with, because Stephenson, even though he could score, he's really closer to a 17 to 18 point score. He's not a 25-30 point scorer. It's just not his game. He just doesn't shoot it consistently enough. So it's just we're going to require Oladipo to put up more points. And, you know, unless he tries to do his Russell Westbrook impersonation, which will automatically cause them to lose the game, I just don't see Oladipo putting up enough points to beat the Cavs today when LeBron is going to go off. There's no doubt in my mind LeBron is going to have a big game today and try to finish it early by putting some separation between the Cavs and the Pacers in the first half. So again, not to be a dead horse here, but you've got LeBron basically being LeBron and putting up big numbers. So for DFS purposes, LeBron absolutely has to be in your lineup today. I don't care what, how much the cost is on FanDuel and DraftKings. I didn't get a chance to look at the salaries just yet, but the imperative is you got to have LeBron in there. He's going to have a big game. Oladipo, I would also say, no one's been able to stay in front of him the entire series. He's going to put up big numbers. The other question is, salary-wise, can you get enough valuation over him and a couple other folks between the Rockets? Because I think the Rockets are also going to be putting up big numbers. Unless you want to do a differential play with Donovan Mitchell, but LeBron's got to be in the lineup. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. LeBron has to be in the lineup today. I will have a goal over my face, and I'm perfectly fine with that. But LeBron's going to have a monster game. I'd be utterly stunned at this point if LeBron came up with an egg. Given how the series has gone, how physical it's been, how emotional it's been. I just think that LeBron is just going to refuse to actually have anything go against him today. And let's not forget, the refs are going to give LeBron benefit of the doubt on pretty much anything. LeBron's going to have his way with the Pacers. I just firmly believe that it's going to be a done deal when it's all said and done for the Cavs today for a number of reasons, not the least of which is LeBron James will put up basically a monster game, he's gonna have his way with the situation. It's just almost a lock at this stage. So let's move on. We're gonna talk about the Rockets hosting the Jazz today, game one. You know what? Utah is in firm, happy to be there mode. The fact that Ricky Rubio's got the hamstring injury in Game 7 against the Thunder all but assures that this is going to be a short series. There pretty much is no way I see Utah hanging in this series. Just because the Rockets are a far better three-point shooting team than the Thunder. There are more ways to put pressure on Utah's defense. I just don't see any scenario where this series does not end in five games or less. This is going to be a short series. It's been a nice story so far for Utah, but it comes to a crashing halt, mainly from the standpoint of, Utah's limitations, especially with the injury to Rubio, are readily apparent. I just it's more of a failing of the Thunder that they were so incompetent that they could not figure out a way of punishing Utah further than what they actually did. That's just a failing on their part. But realistically, there's not much I could see Utah being able to do in the series. I would say you could play Donovan Mitchell, but I just don't see much other options other than playing a salary cap savings with Alec Burks, who's going to fill in at the point guard position for Rubio. I just could not see anything from a DFS perspective. Joe Ingles played out of his mind last series. I just can't see that continuing. I know I sound like a broken record, but it's true. I just can't see it persisting much longer. So, that's what I've got, we're going to see how it plays out, but I think the Rockets easily take control of this series, and it's going to be pretty much a wrap very quickly, in my opinion. I just don't see a lot being done on the Jazz side that's going to change matters all that much for me.
Hey, Throwdown Nation. Are you at the bottom of your fantasy league wondering what is going on with your quarterback? Well, I think I've got a new show that may just fit the bill for you. The show is called Celebrity QB, featuring four-time Super Bowl champion coach Charlie Weiss. Unlike other football shows, you'll get the inside scoop on all things quarterbacks to get your burning questions answered, such as, is this the year Tom Brady finally looks his age? Can Aaron Rodgers actually play a full season on one healthy leg? And can Dak Prescott actually lead the Cowboys to a Super Bowl in spite of Jerry Jones? Coach Weiss and co-host Steve Stroud have got you covered on all things quarterbacks. Listen now on Apple Podcasts or any major media platform. Celebrity QB, everyone's favorite position.
So let's get into the NHL. Just because we're coming up on time, it's just never nearly enough time. Pretty much what I would say is a must-win game for the Capitals. The Capitals have got to figure out a way of winning at home today. There's nothing that the Capitals can do at this point to convince anyone in this series that they can handle the Pittsburgh Penguins, other than win three straight and get multiple chances of knocking off the Pens. Outside of that, no one outside of Washington actually believes that they have any chance of winning this series, nor should they. I just think that this is a case where in Game 2, the Capitals have to salvage what they can at home, get a win against the Penguins, and then figure out a way of winning some games in Pittsburgh. But, right now, they've got to figure out a way of just getting a win. And for once, figuring out a way of getting to a quick start and not blowing the lead. This is just a mandatory game where the Capitals have to figure out a way of getting off to a quick start. If Pittsburgh jumps on them early, I could see the Capitals just rolling over and it just being a done deal, quick and easy today. Because I think the Capitals are that mentally fragile that they can be gotten to if it doesn't work out for them early on. So again, Capitals need to win this game too. Brandon Hopi's got to have a solid game. Can't give up any softies, even though not really any softies in game one, but, just got to make some spectacular saves, though. And I just didn't see that from game one. So they really need to buckle down and take care of business, because it could easily go south for them. So, anyway, I'm going to move on to last night's game, because there was a lot of controversy going on here, and I had some issues with what was being called in the game last night between Vegas and San Jose. San Jose deserved to win the game. There's no question about that. They played a more well-rounded game throughout, but my issue that came up was the fact that, Vegas had a game-winning goal called off in overtime, and the rationale for it was that they ruled goaltender interference. My issue with calling goaltender interference and the way the NHL has set up this rule makes it a convoluted mess, because at the outset of it, you had a situation where Marchessault is skating with a defender on his hip pocket. He's skating around the crease from the back of the net. As he's going past Jones is at the top of the crease in a way where he's literally hanging outside of the crease. His stick is definitely on the outside. Marchessault clips the stick. Jones then proceeds to flop as if he's been struck by a bullet and is doing his best Duke basketball impersonation, and goes to the ice level as if he's completely lost his balance. This in turn allows Marchessault to actually knock the puck in. If Martin Jones stands his ground, he saves that puck regardless. Martin Jones was banking on the refs giving an outright penalty to Marchessault, which is why This is the dumbest rule in hockey right now with goalie interference. Because we've set up a precedent where players are getting penalized for making hockey plays around the net, and goalies are taking advantage of it by playing all the way at the top of the crease. The issue is the fact that just because your skates may be inside the crease, your entire body is on the outside of the crease because these guys are wearing full pads. This is ridiculous. We've gotten to a stage in the NHL where you can't even make a hockey play anymore near the goalie because they're playing at the top of the crease, banking on the opposing player getting a penalty as long as they make contact with the goalie. It's ridiculous. Marchessault didn't get the penalty because the NHL knew that this was idiotic to penalize a guy who's been clearly skating on the outside and makes contact with a goalie stick because the goalie is so far on the outside of the crease, but because his skates are inside the crease, then it's considered not a fair game. You got to protect the goalie. It's sickening. Because my thing is, if you're going to say that because the goalie stick was impacted and that automatically made him interfered with and he couldn't save the puck, then you got to put a penalty on Martin Jones for embellishment, because there's no way he goes to the ice ground based on that little contact before. He flopped to make sure the referees called the penalty, and then he didn't get the call. So on video review, you had to know that Martin Jones flopped on the play. That should have been an embellishment call. You can take off the goal by the draconian sense of the rule by saying that technically there was contact made, and it wasn't initially caused by the defender shoving Marchessault into the goalie. Fine. You can wave off the goal. They didn't call the penalty on Marchessault because he was skating legally within his bounds. But you got to call an embellishment call on Martin Jones. Obviously, that didn't happen. They took off the goal. San Jose scores a goal in double OT for the winner. But just eyesore for the league, because you got playoff games being decided by such an idiotic interference rule. The purpose of this rule was to prevent teams from just couching on top of goalies and causing goals being scored by going and just parking their asses right on inside the goalie crease to get goals. I mean, that's really what was happening. The Kings were notorious for that. But, we've gone to such an extreme now that the NHL can't seem to figure out what's an actual hockey play anymore. Be that as it may, San Jose did deserve to win that game. They did outplay Vegas for the majority of the game. But let's be perfectly honest with ourselves. Sometimes you can outplay a team for a game and you can still lose it. Vegas did enough to try to pull that one out of a hat. It's just that it got overturned at the last minute. And a lot of people were upset and arguing on Twitter. My stance is you can wave off the goal. I don't think it should have been waved off because Martin Jones was way pushing the letter of the law there and got punished by his stick being knocked out by a guy who's already well outside of the crease. But, to wave off the goal and not to call Jones for embellishment, it just doesn't make any sense, because there's no way you can't say that Martin Jones wasn't embellishing for a call there. So we got Vegas and San Jose tied up at 1-1. I still see Vegas pulling that series out. Just because even with San Jose playing a good game and Vegas kind of being on cruise control for the first two periods, pretty much, they still almost pulled that game out. I look for Vegas to kind of take game three, and we'll see how the rest of the series pans out. Tonight, we got game two between Nashville and Winnipeg. I look at Winnipeg here, and I can see them, if Nashville's going to play this way, I can see Winnipeg putting the foot on the gas pedal, if you will, and really trying to bully Nashville. Nashville's got to play with a mean streak tonight, because they did not have it in game one, and Winnipeg took advantage of it. Nashville's got to get mean. They got to get physical, and they really have to start fighting with Winnipeg. Otherwise, they're going to be in for some more trouble. So I look for the defenseman to crash crash the net a little bit more, get a little bit more out of Roman Josi and PK Subban, you're gonna need to get a little bit more out of what we've seen from Ryan Johansson. So Nashville's got their work cut out for them. I'm fully confident that they can get the win tonight. It's just a matter of they got to play their game and get a little bit more physical. So that should be a very interesting game to watch as well. So without much further ado, I'm going to bring up a couple items for baseball today for fantasy purposes, just so you guys can play your lineups and at least we're going with what I've seen. The Yankees have been on an absolute roll. I think Didi Gregorius is pretty much a must-start in terms of lineups today, just because of how much damage he's been doing. So that would be for the afternoon slate. For the main slate, though, you've got a couple of stacks that can make a lot of sense here. In terms of matchups, I like Seattle against Cleveland. Cleveland has not been playing well at all today, so I kind of look at Seattle being able to take advantage. So you can take a look at the likes of Gene Segura, Nelson Cruz, Robert Cano. I think these are all options for you to consider in terms of the fantasy matchups today. Outside of some of these games, I definitely see opportunities where you kind of can go along the route of the Braves against the Phillies, even though I do have Vince Velasquez in sort of throwaway lineups. I think the Braves also have an opportunity there between Ozzy Albies and Dansby Swanson and Freddie Freeman. You do some stacks there. Realistically, though, this is a very open slate just because there's so much money being allocated to top pitchers. You got Robbie Ray going today against the Nationals. So you've got the Diamondbacks versus Nationals. And you also have Houston playing the A's today. So a lot of ownership is going to be on Gerrit Cole. So in matters like this, I kind of tend to fade the public. So I'm probably going to be staying away from Gerrit Cole, more likely in favor of a guy along the lines of a Zach Davies on the Brewers and try to take advantage of the Cubs' struggling lineup and get some cheap points out of my starting pitcher. Maybe look along the lines of Rick Porcello, just because Tampa's been struggling quite a bit should be a relatively smooth matchup for the Red Sox, although I know they mentioned weather might be an issue, but from what I've seen, it's been relatively nice. The bad weather is supposed to be coming later tonight, so I just look at it as a case where those would be the starters I would be going after. So that's all for today's show, just so I can get this up and online for all of you before the game start. But should be interesting to watch Game 7 today in the NBA and see how the hockey games progress today. But have a good one, folks, and enjoy the games.
It's the most talked about position in all of sports, the quarterback. And now there's a show solely dedicated to the most sought after role on the field, Celebrity QB, featuring four-time Super Bowl champion coach Charlie Weiss. Unlike other football shows, you'll get the inside scoop on all things quarterbacks. Like, is this the year Tom Brady finally looks his age? Will dating Danica Patrick distract Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, he's dating Danica Patrick, Charlie. We're interested in that, you know?
Well, I mean, Tommy's got Giselle. I'll take Giselle, okay?
Is Dak Prescott good enough to win a Super Bowl for the Cowboys? Which rookie quarterback has the best shot of making a positive impact in 2018?
How about intellectually, Charlie, as far as what they ask the quarterbacks to do now?
The game has changed, but the pressure that's put on quarterbacks, and it's always been put on quarterbacks, is tremendous.
Join Charlie Weiss and co-host Steve Stroud on an all-new podcast from Lasting Media, exclusively about quarterbacks. Subscribe now at Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to great podcasts. Celebrity QB, everyone's favorite position.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.